Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Betting Life Show, brought to you by Fantasy Life and our friends at DraftKings. I'm Matthew Friedman, Matt F. the Oracle. We are a day away from the kickoff of the divisional round, aka the best weekend in football. And in this episode, we're going game by game to highlight our favorite player props. And joining me are Jeff Ulrich, aka the Fantasy Grind, and Ian Harditz, aka I Harditz. Ian, how is the $40 candle? Has it burned away the sadness of that Cowboys loss from last week?
Straight to it. Sadly, as someone that spent the last 2 weeks over with the future in-laws, I have about six or seven Amazon boxes that I need to use, you know, my Friday night to go ahead and open and figure out what the hell I've been ordering, or more likely the fiance has been ordering with my credit card. So hoping to get that candle open and lit tonight. So far, Matthew, just been tears in the meantime.
Okay. On the topic, this is highly tangential. On the topic of boxes. So for years, my wife and I, vagabonds that we are, we've lived in various random places. You know, she orders a lot of things online. It's my job to break down the boxes. I feel like during the football season, I don't have time to break down the boxes. So I just throw all the boxes in the garage. And it's like this ritual now. At the end of every football season, there is literally like a mountain of boxes in the garage that I have to like devote hours to breaking down. And I every year at the beginning of the football season, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm going to be responsible and break these boxes down. And then like week one, I'm just like throwing them in there. So literally like this weekend, wife out of town, I might spend a whole bunch of hours just breaking down this mountain of boxes. So Ian, that's what you have to look forward to in life, unless you are responsible and decide to break down the boxes as they come in. All right, Jeff, the temperature in Canada. What is it right now? Is it like minus 20?
Minus 20 Celsius, which I don't even know what it is in your crazy Fahrenheit land, but it's it's still cold. It's actually warmed up quite a bit since last show we did, which was last week. So it's actually like you can go outside and like not die, which actually last weekend you couldn't do. So it's an improvement, and we are supposed to get warmer next weekend. So it's warming up, but still much colder than any of the games that you'll be seeing on TV this weekend.
-4 in Fahrenheit. I run the random numbers. My gosh, Jeff, move south.
Yeah. So
the thing is, I melt in the sun now. I don't see the sun. So like when sun touches my skin, I just like I disintegrate. So
I'm a vampire.
I can't move now, Ian. It's too late. I've been acclimatized.
I mean, -4 is enough to where if you had a mustache, you would start to develop some of those Andy Reid icicles if you were out there long enough. All right. So a few reminders. You can find our props and lots of other bets in the free Fantasy Life Bet Tracker. Check out the Discord where we sometimes highlight bets that we like, my player projections, along with the official site projections, which are managed by the ever-sharp Dwayne McFarland. Those are in the Fantasy Life Projections tool. And we have the Fantasy Life Prop tool, which allows you to compare our projections with the props across the market. And we have a recently released Fantasy Life Prop Finder, which allows you easily to search by player and find the most advantageous lines in the market. And then quick reminder, lines and projections do change as we get more news. For instance, we've got some injury news with this first game, the Texans at the Ravens. Mark Andrews seems as if he's not going to play. Ian, talk about that and any other injury things that we should pay attention to for this game.
Yeah, looked like he was on track to returning, managed to practice in full on both Wednesday and Thursday, had the questionable tag, but shout out to Ian Rapoport. Just minutes before the show started, did let us know that the Ravens are not expecting to activate him. So not quite ready, so we'll have at least one more week of the Isaiah Likely show at tight end for the Ravens. Otherwise, Devin Duvernay also could be returning from this back injury. He's officially questionable, also did manage to practice in full all week. So could be back. They need his help more so in the return game than that wide receiver. Otherwise, it's been a pretty healthy game, all things considered.
Yeah, and you know, thinking also about the other side of that, Nico Collins is a potential fantasy guy. No Marlon Humphrey for the Ravens, so that is something that could potentially stand out there. All right, Jeff, I want to kick it off to you first here with the props. What is your favorite investment in the player prop market for this game?
Yeah, so diving into this Texans Ravens game, there were some unders I was certainly interested in. You know, I just think with the weather, the passing props, fading some of them probably going to be good. But my favorite prop from this game is actually going to be a touchdown prop. Gus Edwards plus 105 on DraftKings anytime touchdown. I think the more you dive in to Gus Edwards just sort of usage this year. I mean, this number seems pretty absurd for a guy who, again, like 13 touchdowns on the year, leads all the Ravens in scoring. 12 touchdowns in his last 11 games. I mean, these are numbers like Christian McCaffrey would be pretty impressed with. I'm not really sure why Gus Edwards is up in the plus 105 range in this game. And I think when you look at the Ravens, people think, oh, well, he's playing alongside Lamar Jackson. He's in a rotation. But Gus Edwards leads all running backs in carries inside the five-yard line. And you've got the Ravens with a 26.5 implied team total in this game. I know the Texans are a pretty good rush defense, but like, the Ravens are going to score some points here, even in the poor weather. And I think even just with the poor weather, when they get inside that 10-yard line, that 5-yard line, it's just even going to be more inclined to go with Gus Edwards. So I think it's a really fair price. I also think Gus Edwards' first touchdown score plus 550. The Ravens have scored first in 14 games this year. That leads the NFL. So Gus Edwards, anytime touchdown, if you want to ladder it in terms of the other touchdown bets, that's up to you. But I really like the price there on Gus Edwards.
Yeah, really like the Gus Edwards call out. He's one of the guys I highlighted in my favorites piece this week. And in the Fantasy Life show that we did earlier this week, he was included in a single game parlay there. So very much with you on the Gus Edwards call in his, what is it, 9 games here without competing for carries with Dobbins and Keaton Mitchell, 7 touchdowns. So I think a good chance of him scoring in this game. Ian, what about you? What is a prop you like here?
I got a couple investments here real quick, just with Devin Singletary on the other side of the football. The one somewhat weakness for this Baltimore Ravens team has been their run D, and I do think it's a choice. I mean, they have loaded the box in terms of 8-plus defenders at the single lowest rate in the NFL. They run a ton of simulated pressure. Like, they just make everything so complicated, but if you just stick with the run and actually go at them, we're talking about a group 24th in yards allowed per carry, 28th in yards allowed after contact per carry, 27th highest explosive run play rate on the season. So I do think Bobby Slowick, as much credit deservingly as we give him for his scheme, he has been more willing to embrace the ground game than I think we expect. 7 consecutive games with a dropback rate over expected at neutral or even in the negatives here. So Singletary really over the past 2 months has completely taken over this backfield, even with Damian Pierce back in the picture. I love some of his alternate rushing lines over at DraftKings specifically, 70 plus yards at plus 165. And if we're feeling wild, 80 plus rushing yards at plus 250. Also want to throw in, especially with this Mark Andrews news, I do think Zay Flowers at over 51.5 receiving yards is just a bit of a low line. So we saw him really as a Jetpack Galileo, one of my favorite Twitter accounts out there, as he put it back in week 1, really painted that turf, you know, red, white, and blue of those Texans colors. He was making these dudes miss all over the place. And we did see on the season, the Texans actually wound up missing the 3rd most tackles overall. So Zay Flowers over 51.5, Devin Singletary with that plus 70, plus 80 alternate lines. Why the hell not?
Yeah, I mean, Zay Flowers, especially without Mark Andrews in those 5 games, he has been balling out. So I like that call there. I'm looking at CJ Stroud, over 8.5 yards rushing, minus 110 odds at DraftKings. I have this projected at 10.3. I would bet it up to 9.5 if you needed to. The Texans are 9.5-point underdogs, and I expect that to impact CJ Stroud's rushing production based on what we've seen out of him so far this year. As an underdog, 7 games as an underdog, he's had 14.9 rushing yards. Let's see, 4 games of an underdog of at least a field goal, very similar, 14.5 rushing yards. And the losses, 6 games in the losses there for CJ Stroud, 13 yards rushing in the 4 games with a loss of at least 3 points, 15.75 rushing yards. So I think, you know, CJ Stroud as an underdog in a situation where maybe he's dropping back a little bit more, and that would maybe result in an extra scramble in the game. Just, you know, likelier to see him clear this number there. And the Ravens have allowed quarterbacks to rush for 16.8 yards per game. Stroud, 20 rushing yards when these teams met back in week 1. So, you know, a pretty simple handicap here. Given that Stroud is an underdog, I think this number is just too low. And this kind of taps into the bigger trend that, you know, Jeff, you and I have talked about throughout the season. I think the books for a lot of the year have just been too low on quarterback rushing props across the board. So this is just tapping into that. All right. So that is the first game that we have on Saturday. The second game we have on Saturday, we have the Packers on the road at the 49ers. Ian, on the injury front, what stands out to you?
Yeah, those Russian quarterback props are always just too low, Matthew, except for the times that I happen to bet them. But speaking of those very same Packers, Jaire Alexander, questionable, dealing with that shoulder and ankle injury, did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday to end the week, so truly is looking like a game-time decision, as we saw against the Cowboys, certainly more than capable of making a game-changing play or two if he's out there. Also, doesn't really look like we're going to see A.J. Dillon once again. He's officially questionable, and he did get in a limited practice on Thursday, but still dealing with the thumb and neck issues. I would be surprised if he's active, and even if he is, really wouldn't expect him to turn this, you know, Aaron Jones dominated backfield into a 50-50 split. Still fully expecting Aaron Jones to have his usual workload with or without AJ Dillon.
Yeah, the Jaire Alexander thing, really interesting, super important for that defense. If I had to bet, like, I bet that he probably plays, because we saw the same exact pattern last week, limited practice on Tuesday, or, you know, early in the week, and then didn't practice the final two practices, listed as questionable, and ended up playing. But then, of course, he did suffer an injury last week. So really up in the air, and just something that we're going to have to monitor as we get closer to kickoff. Jeff, what are you looking at here for this game in the prop market?
Yeah, I'm looking at Jaden Reed over 40 and a half receiving yards now. It's minus 120 on DraftKings. This one's kind of hovered between 40 and a half and 42 and a half. There's not much. I mean, we're talking about a yard or two. I think at this point, like, I'd be pretty shocked if this went down much further. So, you know, kind of buying it now is fine. But I mean, I just like this as a buy low spot. You've got a player in Jaden Reed. Everyone knows what he did last week. You know, three targets, zero catches. He went on Twitter after and apologized for busting people's parlays, which was nice. You always like to see, you know, players apologize when they don't come through for you. But, you know, Jaden Reed's a very consistent performer. I mean, he's averaged 84 yards over his last three games of regular season. He had 112 yards against the Bears. Very notoriously tough secondary to go up against. And then I think the matchup this week is better. 49ers secondary is not as good at guarding against the slot as the Cowboys were. The Cowboys allowed the third fewest points per game to slot receivers in the regular season. And, you know, the 49ers were basically, they're more average in that regard. You had names like Christian Kirk coming through for big games against them. So I think this is just a natural spot where, A, the Packers probably aren't going to be up two touchdowns the entire game and, like, be able to just have, like, Dontavian Wicks getting wide open downfield and Romeo Doubs being open the entire game. I think that the 49ers will do a better job shutting that down. I think Jaden Reed's going to be an important factor for the Packers to be moving the ball. I think this is a really good number. We do have this projected for like 5 or 6 yards to the over. And I think it's just a player in Jaden Reed that I want to back. I mean, he's really good after the catch. He's used in all kinds of situations. And like I said, I think he's going to be pretty vital for the Packers if they want to keep this game close. Like the matchup, like the player, and like this number. It's come down like 10 yards over the last couple of weeks. So Jaden Reed over 40 and a half rushing yards, certainly a player you can look to for alternate lines as well.
All right. And Ian, you are also looking at the over for a Packers receiver. And I got to say, I like my spirit, if I have one, it leans in the direction of the Packers being able to do stuff through the air. But I'm looking at the utilization report that we have, and like, they have now like five legit wide receivers. And my fear with any of these guys with betting the over is that, like, they will cannibalize each other. And it's kind of hard to predict which one in any given week might go over. Now, we just kind of have to see, you know, Christian Watson was coming back from injury last week. Maybe we start to see some consolidation in terms of, like, routes for these guys. But, man, like, it's a little bit troubling. And, like, Jeff, I was with you on Jaden Reed last week. And, I still lean in that direction. But just seeing how much, like, they gave Bo Melton like 33% of the routes, you know, like, yeah. If you're giving Bo Melton 33% of the routes, Dontavian Wicks looking like a legit playmaker, if he's getting 62% of the routes, it just feels like it might be hard for any one of these guys really to dominate within that offense. Ian, what are you thinking when you're looking at how things are breaking down for these wide receivers and then the prop that you like for this week?
You're not wrong, and I think that's a big reason for the Packers' overall success. I mean, really, by virtue of just all the injuries they've dealt with between Watson, Reed, and the chest injury. I mean, Wicks has been banged up. Romeo Dobbs, everyone in this offense has been banged up, really, over the last 2 months, which has made Jordan Love's ascension all that much more incredible. But with all that in mind, Freeman, why not take the guy who does happen to be running the most routes out there, Romeo Dobbs? I love his alternate plus, you know, 210 to get over 51.5 receiving yards here. Obviously, clear the 100-yard mark with ease against the Cowboys. But the big thing for me here is looking at the way that teams have been able to have even some success against this 49ers defense. And that method usually has been getting the ball out of their hands quickly before you let Nick Bosa and company pin their ears back and cause all kinds of pressure. So again, you could be hard-pressed to find any advanced pass defense stat that says anything other than the 49ers being a top five defense. But if we squeeze things and look at when quarterbacks have gotten the ball out in under 2.5 seconds, all of a sudden we're looking at the 15th-ranked defense in explosive pass play rate, the 18th-ranked defense in yards per attempt, 16th in EPA allowed per play, much more average unit. And then, guys, I found a Jordan Love stat. We don't even have to cut it off at week 9. We can use the entire season and still get him as a top 3 passer in PFF grade when releasing the ball in under 2.5 seconds. So I really do think that's where Matt LaFleur's scheme, you know, shines through the brightest, when he can, you know, get the routes open and Love in rhythm gets to his guy early, who's been his most targeted receiver when getting the ball out of his hands quickly this year. That's right, Romeo Dobbs, team high 20% target rate. Hey, I think it's all lining up this week. To say all that, maybe I'll get Jaden Reed, you know, going for me now that I finally picked Romeo Dobbs, and Jaden Reed will be the one balling out. But it is tough. But again, because of that, we know there's going to be yards, and it's just tougher to tell. So if anything, I'm more inclined to bet an alternate line with, you know, plus 210 odds versus going at the, you know, baseline over under, because to you guys' point, it is a bit more iffy in this offense than other ones.
All right. So I'm looking at the other side of the ball, and as Jeff can attest, anytime Christian McCaffrey is on the slate, I will be very tempted to bet CMC anytime touchdown. Of course, that number is minus 340. And even though I think that there's actually some value in that number this week, I won't go quite that, you know, quite that fishy. I am actually going to do something else here and create the same game parlay with Christian McCaffrey. So I'm going CMC anytime touchdown, but also going under 128.5 scrimmage yards. And of course I am doing that at DraftKings, which is an official partner of the NFL. And right now they have an offer that you do not want to miss. All customers can get a no sweat bet with a bonus bet if your SGP or SGPX bet doesn't hit. Max reward limits apply. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up using our promo code Fantasy Life. That is one word. And if you're a new customer, you are definitely going to want to listen up. Right now on DraftKings, new customers who bet just $5 will get $200 in bonus bets instantly. If you're wondering what you can do with your $200 bonus bets, you can combine multiple bets together for a shot at an even bigger payout. And if sports betting isn't available in your state, not to worry, you can still join in on all the fun with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. All new customers can use the promo code Fantasy Life and get a no sweat bet. Get a bonus bet back if your SGP or SGPX bet loses. Max reward limits apply. That is promo code Fantasy Life. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Okay, Christian McCaffrey, anytime touchdown and under 128.5 scrimmage yards. This is, I'm looking at this right now because odds do change. This is plus 162 at DraftKings. Now, I've got a little bit of a breakdown on why it is that I like this bet. So obviously Christian McCaffrey, I'm invested in the Christian McCaffrey anytime touchdown, anytime that is available. Despite exiting week 17 early with an injury, not playing in week 18, McCaffrey has scored an NFL high 21 touchdowns in 16 games. He also leads the league in red zone opportunity. So it's not as if like he's lucking into these touchdowns, like he's getting the high leverage opportunities that result in touchdowns. And so I think, you know, it just kind of makes sense. I'm looking at the number right now. This is minus 340, which has like an implied probability of like in the high 70% range. I think this should probably price as if like he has an 85% chance of scoring a touchdown. And I know that feels like ridiculously high, but it kind of makes sense if you're thinking about how high the total is for this game, around 50.5. You have the 49ers like 9.5 home favorites. Like, so they're implied to score around 30 points. Like, they're going to score multiple touchdowns, a pretty good chance that we see Christian McCaffrey get one of those touchdowns. Now, at the same time, I like putting this in a same game parlay because it gives us better odds. And I like the under on the scrimmage yards because I think the books are pricing this incorrectly. Now, yards and touchdowns tend to be correlated, and that makes sense. Like, it is literally impossible to score a touchdown without getting at least 1 yard on the play. So the more yards, the more touchdowns, vice versa. So it's not a coincidence that McCaffrey led the league in regular season touchdowns, also led the league in scrimmage yards. But, you know, if you're looking at the odds here at DraftKings, and I'll just say, I'm going to our parlay calculator right now. And if you type in, let me see here. Sorry, this is great podcasting. If you type in the minus 340 odds for the touchdown, you type in the minus 115 odds that you would have on the under, what you would expect to get is plus 142 odds. But instead, we are getting plus 162 odds if you're taking the under on the scrimmage yardage here. If you're taking the over on the scrimmage yardage, it's plus 110. So the sports book is saying that, like, they are honoring the correlation of yards to touchdowns here by giving you only plus 110 instead of plus 142 if you take over on the yards and the anytime touchdown. Now, here's the thing. Like, ordinarily, I would say that makes sense, but we are in the playoffs, and I think things change a little bit for the playoffs. You know, you have this situation where the 49ers, like, this is the most important game of their season, except for the next one, and then hopefully the one after that. So because it's the playoffs, I think very good chance Christian McCaffrey scores a touchdown. Like, I think he gets those really important opportunities near the end zone. But because they are looking to save him for the next game, and because they are big favorites, they might not give him as many carries or as many opportunities as they normally would because they want to save him a little bit. And because they have number two running back Elijah Mitchell, who has looked really great the past few games filling in for Christian McCaffrey, you know, maybe they don't feel the need to give McCaffrey quite as much work because this is the guy who led the league in carries in the regular season, or in touches in the regular season. And he is coming off of a calf injury, which, like, he practiced in full. There's no question as to whether he's going to play, but maybe there's just a little bit of a lingering concern with giving him too much work coming back from the injury. So I think this is an important enough game where Christian McCaffrey is definitely going to get the goal line work. But because of the upcoming games and how important they are, Christian McCaffrey might not get the full workload that he normally gets. And so if I can bet on that at plus odds, at like plus, what is it right now? Plus 162. I'm going to do that. You know, so that is what I am betting there. I know it's all kind of convoluted, but I think, like, it's a decent way of approaching SGPs. You kind of have to think about the correlations of these things and how everything ties together. All right. Getting into the Sunday slate of games here. First one, Tampa Bay on the road at Detroit. You've got the two former number one seeds, or former number one overall draft picks, castoffs, who have been successfully reclaimed with new organizations going against each other. Ian, what is it that you're looking at with the injuries here?
Mostly clear. We are recording this Friday morning, so don't have the official designations out yet. But Chris Godwin got back to a limited practice on Thursday after kicking off the week with a DNP. Still dealing with that knee injury, but they've been managing it really pretty much all season long. And he's already talking to the media about the game and stuff. So pretty sure Godwin will have his usual role. Not so sure about Chase Edmonds. He has had back-to-back DNPs with that toe injury, so could see even more focus, you know, pass game uses for Rashad White, which would be great, especially for a certain prop that I think Jeff's going to talk about soon. On the Lions side of the football, Sam Laporta did get downgraded from a full practice, I believe, to a limited on Thursday. So that one isn't ideal, but I still have a hard time believing that he's not going to go out there and play after managing to do so last week at his usual role. And then finally, it does seem like Khalif Raymond will be out once again. Hasn't practiced this week, and I know he busted last week, guys. But without Khalif Raymond, we finally did get the full every down role for Jameson Williams. So if you're looking for a bounce back there, Jameson should at least have the opportunity to do so from a route perspective.
Yeah, Josh Reynolds also interesting, if no Khalif Raymond as well. Jeff, what are you looking at in the prop market here for this game?
It's funny. I just about made Josh, Jameson Williams under 2.5 receptions, my bet here. But the Khalif Raymond thing just kind of had me going away from it a little bit. I still like that bet. Jameson Williams has been under that in like 8 to 10 games. But a little bit more simple is the one that I went with. I went with Rashad White over 22.5 receiving yards. This is on DraftKings. It's open around 21.5. It's moved up a little bit. I wouldn't be shocked if this closes around 23.5, 24.5 maybe. This is probably one I could see the public getting behind at the end, but I do like it. You know, Ian mentioned, like, I mean, Chase Edmonds being out, it's not a bad thing. It's not like I wouldn't bet this if Chase Edmonds played, but Chase Edmonds being out certainly helps Rashad White. He's not going to come off the field for any tempo snaps. There's no way they're giving like Sean Tucker like 2 minute snaps or something. Edmonds was kind of the relief guy. So White pretty much locked in to all the passing down roles, which he was almost locked into anyways. But this really just comes down to matchup. I mean, last week, Eagles, terrible. We know their defense, you know, they're allowing big rush plays. They're just turning the ball over, not scoring. It just led to Rashad White getting one target. That's an outlier. That's not anywhere near his norm for the season. Rashad White went over 21.5 rush yards in 13 to 19 games this year. This is a player who's just a really, really talented receiver playing a Detroit Lions defense. Really good, you know, against the run, not so good against the pass. And, you know, they haven't allowed a ton of receptions or like massive games necessarily to opposing running backs. But you look at guys like Austin Ekeler, Alvin Kamara, Ty Chandler, and even last week, Ronnie Rivers, these guys all average like 10 yards a catch. And I think that's the biggest thing that makes me like the over here is that when the receiving running backs against the Lions get out in space, like it's not going for like 5 yards. They're going for like 10 or 12 yards. And White's good enough that he could bust one of those plays for 15, potentially even 20, right? So I think Rashad White in this game, I expect this to be back and forth. I think there's a chance, you know, Baker Mayfield could turn the ball over a little bit. The Lions get out to a big lead. And then it's just tempo, catch up for the Buccaneers. So way better game environment, I think, for White this week. Better matchup as well. And just a player, I like backing when we're in these kind of spots. So I think this one's a little bit too low. I won't be shocked if it creeps up a little bit by game time, but still like the over at 22.5.
Yeah, this one's intriguing. I haven't projected it 25.7. Yeah, I agree. I could see this ticking up another yard or two before we get to kickoff. Ian, what catches your eye here in this Bucks-Lions game?
Let's big boys. Now, this opened at like 244 to start the week. It's up to 257.5, so I'm certainly chasing here a little bit. But come on, it's the Lions pasty. I like Baker Mayfield going over his 257.5 passing line here. Just look at the last four quarterbacks who faced this defense, guys. Matthew Stafford went for 367. Dak Prescott went for 345. Nick freaking Mullins went for 411 and 396. We just need Baker to get to 260. Like, I'm feeling great about this. I understand we can go back to week 6 and look at that performance. Only had 206 scoreless yards out there, but this was not, you know, Aiden Hutchinson just melting the pocket each and every snap. This was not Mike Evans and company all of a sudden not being able to get free. That was one of the worst games that we have seen Baker play, maybe ever and definitely this year. He missed Chris Godwin for a 30-yard touchdown. He missed Trey Palmer for what should have been a 70-yard touchdown. I kid you not, guys. The entire line Lions defense on one play bit. Mike Evans was running deep for what honestly looked like was going to be a 92-yard touchdown. Instead, the pass got deflected at the line and intercepted. So I cannot overstate how fluky of a bad performance that was. Really was nothing the Lions did. And that was honestly even like a somewhat healthier version, I think, of the Lions defense overall. So they have gotten CJ Gardner-Johnson back, but their cornerbacks, other than rookie Brian Branch, have remained a liability all year long, given the negative game script expected from them being a touchdown underdog, given the fact that we're seeing them in a dome, and given the fact that, again, they're facing a Lions team we're expecting to put up numbers. I see a back and forth shootout here, and even if it's not the prettiest 260 plus yards, I do think Baker gets there. Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean,
just before you start, I'm just gonna throw this out. This was my same game parlay for this game. Baker Mayfield, 300 plus yards. Mike Evans, 100 plus yards. Mike Evans, anytime touchdown. And Rashad White, over 22.5 receiving yards. That's plus 1,400 on DraftKings. I mean, like Ian said, I mean, how does Baker Mayfield not throw for 300 yards this week? I think Mike Evans to lead this game in receiving yards is interesting too. Yeah, man. Just, this is one you just feel good about smashing the overs on. Everything Tampa Bay.
Candle. I'm putting a candle on it. Yeah. 257.5. $40 candle. Let's go.
I mean, Ian, you're like the king of like Sheesh Report, looking at like all of the drops that a team has. And you mentioned everything that, you know, could have gone right in that last game between the Bucks and Lions that went wrong. And I feel like there's a similar thing last week. Like Baker had over 300 yards passing. He could have had like 400 yards passing if the Bucks hadn't dropped so many passes.
Seven in the first half. Freeman, including those two deep balls to Mike Evans. Cade Otton had a drop touchdown on a drive where they had to settle for a field goal. Like, I know there was some very bad tackling from the Eagles, but like, to your point, yeah, legit could have been 400 plus yards. Baker, he's playing great. He practiced in full all week. Like, that week 18 mobility looked horrific against the Panthers, so I think it was fair to be a little bit concerned going into the Eagles game, but he looked perfectly healthy last week. The practice participation is telling us the same thing. Let's bake.
Yeah, Ian, you have anticipated where I'm going with the Baker Mayfield full injury report status. Week 18, you mentioned it. He looked really hampered with the injury. He picked up an ankle injury, which was on the injury report we saw last week. But man, in the wild card round, he looked good, not just the performance, but also like the physicality. And that makes me think that we see the primed version of Baker. So I'm going over 8.5 yards rushing. Through his career, he's probably overestimated his scrambling ability, but like at least he has the willingness, like the want to scramble whenever he doesn't have his read open there in the pocket. 9.2 yards rushing per game for his career, 9.6 on the ground this year. And the fact that he's an underdog, I think can help juice his production on the ground based on what we've seen out of him this year. When he's been an underdog of at least 3 points, and that's happened in 7 games, we've seen him have 10.3 rushing yards per game in the 7 games in which the Bucks have lost by at least 3 points. He's had 11 rushing yards per game. The Lions, number 3 this year in most rushing yards allowed to opposing quarterbacks with 24.6 per game. And then plus, like, it's the postseason. Quarterbacks tend to play with a little more abandon. I think that normally results in more scrambling when otherwise they might look to pass, fighting for extra yards when they might otherwise choose to go down. And of course, again, Baker, fully healthy based on the injury report this week, I think that makes him a little bit likelier to be aggressive as a runner. So we are all on board with the Buccaneers offense this week being able to do things. So Baker over 8.5 rushing yards. All right, the final game here that we have for Sunday, the Chiefs on the road playing the Bills. What a game. Of course, like, we've seen these teams match up pretty regularly over the past 4 years. This is the 7th game that they will have played since 2020. So it should be a great game. We saw them, play against each other in a tight game in week 14. Ian, what do you see on the injury front?
Yeah, with the Chiefs, just some of their complimentary wide receivers still banged up, but seemingly have a chance to get out there. Sky Moore with his knee, Justin Ross hamstring, and Kadarius Toney with his hip and ankle injuries, all at least limited. So probably going to be questionable across the board there. But again, do have a chance of just complicating things in the secondary market. But as we know, guys, Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice should continue to see the heavy majority of targets. On the Bills, actually just got some good information. Gabe Davis officially out as our cornerback Christian Benford, linebacker Baylen Specter, and safety Taylor Rapp. So yes, I know the Gabe Davis issue has been the main one we're talking about, but they have now lost multiple starters over the course of these last few weeks on defense. Certainly not ideal. And then just one more thing to look out for. McDermott did mention that Stephon Diggs was actually limited on Friday due to a foot injury that popped up on Thursday. So McDermott says he's not concerned as of now, but as we've seen with Stephon Diggs, hasn't exactly been, the best version of himself for the last few months. Adding a foot injury onto that, not exactly ideal.
Yeah, that is interesting. Something certainly to monitor as we approach kickoff. Feel pretty certain that he's going to play, but yeah, that could be something that certainly hinders him. All right, Jeff, prop market, what are you looking at here?
Okay, so I got a couple things. First of all, I'm going to start with this one just because Ian just brought up the Diggs injury report. Khalil Shakir, most receiving yards in this game is plus 1,300 on DraftKings. Shakir's had a couple hundred yard games over his last 8 starts. He's just a solid player too. I mean, we saw that play last week, obviously good after the catch, plays the slot. I think it's a good place to attack this Chiefs secondary that tends to be just very, very good on the boundaries. So I think Shakir plus 1,300. I just think that number is a little too big when you look at it, especially with the Diggs news. Just wanted to point that one out. That's one I would definitely probably going to be playing. And then my main prop for this game, okay, this prop isn't up on DraftKings yet, but it's probably going to be up soon, like by the game time. And it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire over 3.5 receiving yards. This is a little bit ridiculous, but you know, here's the games that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has played with no Jerick McKinnon in the game yet. 0 receiving yards, 8 receiving yards, 42 receiving yards, 9 receiving yards, and 5 receiving yards. So he's basically gone over 4.5 receiving yards in 4 or 5 games. Again, it's not up on DraftKings yet. I think they probably will have Edwards-Helaire props up, but he's a pretty decent receiver. He's averaged 8.6 yards per reception for his career. The Bills potentially going to be without linebacker Terrell Bernard. I think there's just good value in looking at the Clyde Edwards-Helaire overs in this spot. In general, again, you'll get some props up eventually on DraftKings. I feel pretty confident they'll have a market for them. Not up yet, but just wanted to point that one out because when they do come up, they're probably going to be pretty low. And this is gross. You're probably going to be sitting there being like waiting for Clyde Edwards-Helaire to come on the field, touch the ball, do something. But if these props get put out like at 3.5 for receiving yards, for example, I just think it's going to be too low. And I think that he played 30% of the snaps last week. That to me is more than enough to take an over on a guy at 4.5 yards. I don't even really care who it is. If he's playing 30% of the snaps at running backs, I'm going to take the over at 4.5 yards. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, look for that market when it comes out. It's absolutely the worst bet of the season, but I've already made it. So,
I mean, look, there have been plenty of shameful bets that have been made on this show. Maybe this one takes the cake, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe this is the game in which CEH finally becomes the second coming of Brian Westbrook.
He had his best career game against the Bills in Buffalo too. So just, you know, there's good vibes.
Of course, of course, he did. All right. Well, you know, maybe we see Patrick Mahomes throw to CEH a ton in this game, and that gets Ian on the over 36.5 pass attempts for Mahomes. That's where you're looking. Ian, talk about this bet that you like.
I've checked everything. I've checked the regular season lines, the postseason, the under 32 degrees, and Mahomes is regularly comfortably at least 37 pass attempts. So I know, you know, 36.5, 37, that's not exactly a huge lean, but I think it's this matchup specifically that will, you know, just coax out 40 plus attempts out of Mahomes, because that's what it's been doing more at times than not. Again, 6 career matchups now since 2020, we've seen him have 43, 40, 44, 54, 38, and 126 effort there in terms of the total pass attempts. So I really don't think it's a coincidence. When you look at these two offenses, what's so interesting, not the offenses, actually the defenses, a couple years ago, 2021, like both these offenses were suddenly in a rough spot after just dominating the league for an extended stretch. And it was because of all these too high coverage looks that teams were just throwing at them, trying to take away the big plays. Since then, KC and Buffalo pretty much looked at that and said, like, well, if we can't handle that, let's see how the rest of the league does. And now these are two of the top three defenses in terms of using those too high safety looks, cover 2, cover 4, cover 6, two-man, things of that nature. And when you look at Mahomes against these Bills defenses, 11 of his 13 passing touchdowns in those games have been inside of 12 yards. We had the crazy Tyreek Hill yak play. Juju had a similar one last year. Otherwise, they've consistently made Mahomes and company march down that field, use a lot of plays, and accordingly use a lot of pass attempts. So again, Mahomes and company, we saw last week him clear over 40 in one of the coldest games ever. I really don't think they changed their game plan based on the weather, so I'm not concerned about that. And I just think going up again against a defense that we've seen Mahomes clear this easily against, give me over 36.5.
I just love thinking about the correlation between CEH over 3.5 receiving yards and Patrick Mahomes going over on the pass attempts.
Same game parlay. Yeah. You and me, Jeff. Let's do it.
All right. I'm looking
at throw the ball 50 times and CEH is going to get 2 catches for minus 2 yards. That's what'll happen.
Don't put that mojo on your own bet. That's normally my job to put that mojo on.
I'm just cackling at like the 3rd and 20 where like CH is just there, you know, checking down wide open, and Jeff's like jumping out of his seat, and Mahomes is holding the ball, waiting for something bigger. It's CH.
Everyone's cheering for the game. I don't even know what the score is. I'm just out of my mind because it's 3rd and 20 and CH is catching a screen pass.
25-yard rope to Kelsey for the first down. Jeff's like, you had CH in the flat. Come on.
All right. Well, I'm going to the other side of the ball, and I'm doing what I always do, and I'm betting that Josh Allen throws an interception. This, let me make sure I'm looking at the right numbers here for Josh Allen. So it's like the tradition at this point. If Josh Allen is active in a game, I'm going to be betting on him to throw an interception. It's minus 115 at DraftKings right now, and I have this projected at 133, minus 133.5. So I'd be willing to bet it up to like minus 125. He has 18 interceptions in 18 games. Like, I feel like that's the blurb. Like, I could just say that, and I feel like that should be enough, but I'll keep going. It's not as if he's thrown an interception in like one game and then was clean the other 17 games. It's like almost every game this guy is throwing an interception in all of the games but four. So 77.8% of his games this year, he's thrown an interception. But you know, like the minus 115 odds would say that this is sort of like, I don't know, like 55% at the most to happen. But like that number is just far too low. And I'll say like there are some factors in Josh Allen's favor. So since week 11, when the Bills dismissed then offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey, they promoted quarterbacks coach Joe Brady to play caller. This has been a far less pass happy team in weeks 1 through 10. 58.3% early pass down rate since week 11, a 53.6% early down pass rate. With weeks 1 through 10, 5% pass frequency over expected since week 11, a minus 3% pass frequency over expected. So they are not passing nearly as much as they used to. So, of course, that means probably, you know, a diminished chance of Josh Allen throwing an interception. And then, of course, they are also 2.5-point home favorites. So maybe they get out to a lead against the Chiefs and they lean all the more into the running game, which still limits the number of pass attempts for Allen, and that could help him stay clean. All right. That's like the positive case for Josh Allen. Even with that said, he has 7 interceptions in 8 games with Brady calling plays. Like, he still throws interceptions. That's just what he does. Even with the OC change, Allen throws interceptions. And against the Chiefs in week 14, the Bills won 20-17. He still threw an interception in that game. Like, it's Josh Allen. He's playing. He's probably going to throw an interception, even if the Bills win this weekend. So Josh Allen, betting on him, minus 115 to throw that interception against the Chiefs. All right, to close it out here, Ian, I know we've talked different props. Is there one specific prop that you really like? If you had to sort of isolate it to say, all right, this, I mean, I guess it's the candle prop.
Yeah,
you've already put it out there. Yeah. So what was that? That was the Baker Mayfield over
257.5. But I love Jeff's point. Again, I will certainly be sprinkling plenty of those same game parlays. I know Joey McFarland actually had a great video go up on Fantasy Life's YouTube page. Not sure if he did get the Baker alternate, you know, passing line in there, but he has some really good reasons about Mike Evans and, you know, even in the Chris Godwin, I think anytime touchdown may or may not have cracked that. So make sure you go give that a listen as well. But yeah, just overall, I think this is going to be the shootout. Like, honestly, I could see the under, you know, being in play for the Bills and Chiefs game. I think out of all these games, if I had to put some of my hard-earned money on both sides having plenty of offense, it would be this one. Let's bake.
Yeah, I mean, it's the one game that's indoors. You know, there is that trend for the indoor postseason games being pretty profitable to the over there. So an interesting look. Not hard to imagine how this game shoots out. Jeff, you don't have a candle bet, but if there's one that is like the functional equivalent, your favorite prop bet on the divisional round slate, what stands out to you?
I definitely wouldn't be CEH receiving yards for candles, but I like, my favorite prop is honestly the Gus Edwards anytime touchdown. I really just think that's kind of mispriced. Plus money for a guy who scored 13 times, 12 of his last 10 games. Like, it seems a little ridiculous, especially with the Ravens at home and favored, you know, in poor weather. Guy who's leading the league and inside the 5-yard carries among all running backs. I think Gus Edwards at plus money to score a touchdown is a really strong bet this week. And it's just one I would make pretty much every week at those odds with him right now.
All right. Like that. My favorite is, of course, that SGP anytime touchdown for Christian McCaffrey under 128.5. Scrimmage yards from Christian McCaffrey at plus 162 odds. I would take that all the way to plus 150. And of course, I would be doing that at DraftKings. All right, that's going to do it for this Prop Pod edition of the Betting Life Show, brought to you by Fantasy Life and our friends at DraftKings. Please subscribe to the show. Tell your degenerate betting friends. Join the Discord. See all of our bets in the free Fantasy Life Bet Tracker. And follow us on social media at The Fantasy Grind, iHeartIt, and Matt F. The Oracle. Thank you, and see you again next episode.